Time now for White Spot Giants this week.
Back come the Giants across the line. Kosh, left wing, looks, waves, finds a man, gets it, scores! In he comes! Stop by David Tendick, he kept it out! Oh, mercy, what a save by Tendick! Up the middle comes Byram, right side, Ronning, and the circle scores!
Here's your host, Dan O'Connor.
Good evening and welcome to White Spot Giants this week. We are on the home of Vancouver hockey and the home of the Giants Sportsnet 650. Mid-July, and we continue to provide updates whenever possible about the future of junior hockey and when the Western Hockey League will be returning to a rink near you. My name is Dan O'Connor, pleased to have you along for the ride here tonight. Coming up in segment number two, we are going to head to the Okanagan, actually, and chat with a Vancouver Giant fresh off his first full season in the league. Looking forward to catching up with defenseman Tanner Brown in segment number two of this show. But before we get there, this is a conversation that I've been looking forward to for a while, and some really interesting perspective into a lot of different avenues pertaining to the Western Hockey League. But the fellow who I'm about to speak with is actually an alumnus of the WHL and an alumnus of the Vancouver Giants. Was originally drafted by the Vancouver Giants in the first round back in 2008. Played five seasons, or parts of five seasons, in the Western Hockey League. And is now a really, really cool situation has unfolded for Zach Hodder, in that he is leading the Western Hockey League's player development and recruitment programs. He is the manager of player development for the Western Hockey League. Giants alumnus Zach Hodder on the program. Zach, thanks for making time. It's good to have this conversation with you. Thanks for making time, and maybe a loaded question off the hop, but how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm lucky in the fact that I get a little more time off this season. I guess that's the one benefit for me, not as much travel. So it's been really great. Got to come back to British Columbia. Obviously, the WHL head office is in Calgary. So just been back in the Lower Mainland for a little while here, seeing my grandparents and my family that I haven't been able to see in, you know, the past year.
So there's so much to unpack here, Zach, but maybe before we dive into some of the specifics and the nuances of what life looks like for you today, well, why don't you do your best to kind of give us the skinny of your hockey career, and started with the Vancouver Giants in the WHL, then visits in Saskatoon, Prince Albert, Medicine Hat, and Moose Jaw. But really, it all culminated with five seasons in the Western Hockey League, and then the WHL scholarship program, which was a real asset for you when your playing career was done. But what do you remember about some of the early days, maybe your first training camp with the Vancouver Giants, and back when you were 15, 16, and really starting your junior hockey career?
Well, I remember going to my first training camp and just honestly being scared. I mean, you're with the team. I went to probably 30 or 40 Giants home games when I was a kid growing up, so I knew who most of these players were, and I'd seen them play, and there were still holdovers from my Memorial Cup team. And I remember going to countless games and playoff games that season. So when I went to my first training camp, I remember, Craig Shearer and Brent Regner, two former Giants defensemen, as well as John Blum, were really big guys who helped me during training camp. They kind of, I would say, held my hand and kind of helped me along in understanding kind of how you do things at the junior level. And they just really made me feel comfortable to be there and to play, and they gave me confidence, even though I knew I wasn't had a chance to make the team, obviously, at 15. But they encouraged me. They kind of showed me what the culture was in Vancouver. And I just remember having time with Craig and Brent and John and just those guys that I watched. And I thought, I couldn't believe that one day I was going to get to play with them, or I was going to get to be on the ice with them, not just as a fan, but as a teammate. So it was really cool. It was very scary, and it was very eye-opening in the fact that, I thought I was a first-round pick, and I thought I was a special player. And when I got there, I realized, I got a lot of work to do if I want to be a good player in this league.
So then you fast forward, you get your career started. You know, the first season in the league was 2009-10, and the names on this roster, I mean, they kind of speak for themselves when you think of Craig Cunningham and Brandon Gallagher, Kevin Connaughton with his historic season at that time, you know, Don Hay behind the bench. I mean, do you remember there being a moment for you, Zach, during your playing career where it went from, you know, as you mentioned in your first answer, maybe a bit of nerves and a bit of fear all of a sudden to a situation where it was like, okay, yeah, I got this. I can do this. I can contribute and be somebody that the Giants can look to and depend on game in, game out type of thing?
You know, when you're 16, you're still trying to figure everything out. And, you know, another guy that was on that team was actually James Wright, who played, I think, 54 games with Tampa Bay before he ended up getting sent back to our team. So, you know, that team had, I think, six to eight guys who ended up playing in the NHL, which is incredible. Brendan Gallagher was on that team as well. It's just, it was a special moment. But for myself, that 16-year-old season, unfortunately, I suffered several shoulder injuries that required surgery. And after the under 17 championships, I went and got shoulder surgery and missed the rest of the year. So I never really felt like I got that opportunity or earned that opportunity, to go and contribute to the team in the way I wanted to. Mostly just because that first season, you're really trying to figure out, how to be successful, but also how to develop the daily habits you need day in and day out to continue to grow and continue to get better and continue to earn more ice time, your coach's trust, and your teammates' trust at the same time as well.
My guest is Zach Hodder. He currently works with the Western Hockey League in a player development capacity. He is the manager of player development for the WHL. A former Vancouver Giant joins me here on White Spot Giants this week. So then, I mean, you talk all the time, Zach, about players who come into the league at 16, they leave at 19 or 20, and the same old adage of time flies, and you don't really realize how fast it all goes until all of a sudden now you're faced with this decision and this dilemma of what to do next. What is the next step in my life and in my hockey career? And that's where the WHL scholarship program comes up. For those who might not be fully aware of the intricacies of the scholarship program, can you explain, you know, maybe basic-ish of what the WHL scholarship program is and how it ultimately came to benefit you?
Well, let me just give you an overview of how education works when you're actually playing in the Western Hockey League, just so you get the full scope of kind of the approach that the Western Hockey League takes to education. When you enter the Western League, let's say you're like me, you come in at 16 years old. Every single Western Hockey League club has an academic advisor that's going to reach out to wherever you go to high school in your hometown, and they're going to make sure that all the courses and credits that you need to graduate on time with your friends and family get transferred to whichever Western League club you're playing. So when you go home, you can graduate on time with those friends and family. Now, once you're actually done high school, so most likely your 18-year-old season, you can start taking courses, post-secondary courses, tuition, textbooks, and compulsory fees paid for by your Western Hockey League club that doesn't affect your scholarship once you leave the Western Hockey League. So you can get up to 2 years of post-secondary education paid for while you're playing in the Western Hockey League and still have that full WHL scholarship once you leave the league. Now, the scholarship works for every year you play in the Western Hockey League. You get 1 year of post-secondary or career-enhancing institution. You know, example of a career enhancing institution could be aviation school or a trade school, essentially anything that's going to advance your career. And they pay for your tuition, your textbooks, and your compulsory fees at any school that you wish to choose to go to. So if you want to go to school, if you're a BC kid, you want to go to UBC, that's available to you. If you choose to go to school like I did in St. Thomas, which is in Fredericton, New Brunswick, you have that option as well. So the scholarship is designed to help you achieve whatever your academic goals are and wherever you want to go to achieve that.
I'm very interested to know from your specific example, Zach, like when you were using your scholarship and when you had finished playing in the WHL, was it always maybe a goal in the back of your mind to ultimately get back to the WHL and work in player development, in a player development capacity? Or was this something that I don't know if it fell into your lap, or I don't know if it was just kind of an epiphany one day, but can you just share with us the post-secondary journey and how it ultimately kind of culminated with you ending up in your current position?
You know what? It's a bit of a unique story. I wouldn't say it fell into my lap, but I mean, it kind of floated into my lap. I was lucky enough to go to school at Royal Rose University in Victoria, where I was finishing my communications degree. And as we came to the end of the degree, I was applying for a lot of jobs, mostly in Victoria, because it was a place I wanted to stay. I really loved it there. But I'd noticed that the Western Hockey League had an internship position called the Bill Hay Future Leaders Program, and as well as a manager player development job on their postings. But I didn't really think... I guess I didn't have the confidence to think that I could do the manager player development job. So I applied for the internship, and Greg Gardner, who's the vice president of operations for the Western League, called me after I applied, and he asked me if I'd be willing to apply for the manager player development job. And a couple interviews and 2 weeks later, they offered me the job. So I ended up doing my last month of university at Royal Roads. And then I finished school on August 30th, and on September 4th, I started at the Western Hockey League in Calgary. So hopped on a ferry and then drove straight there. And that's pretty much how it happened. And I've been incredibly fortunate that was the path and where I currently am.
On White Spot Giants this week, we are having a conversation with Zach Hodder. He is a former Vancouver Giant, now the manager of player development for the Western Hockey League. And, Zach, you touched on the fact that, crazy how these things sort of work out. You apply for an internship initially, then fast forward, you're hired to be a manager of player development. So enlighten us. Tell us about your position. What is the primary goal, your mandate, if you will, and maybe walk us through a kind of an interesting question, maybe because life is anything but ordinary these days, but an ordinary-ish day in the life of Zach Hodder, what does it look like?
Well, it varies kind of day to day and then month to month, quite honestly. A big part of my job and my portfolio is going to major tournaments. An example of these would be the Rocky Mountain Classic, the Bauer Bantam Elite Tournament that's hosted in Abbotsford every year, as well as the John Reed Memorial Tournament in St. Albert, sorry about that, and presenting to parents and players just about information and education about the Western Hockey League. I don't go there trying to sell the league. I'm just there telling parents, hey, this is what our league offers. This is what we do very well. And these are the things that can really help benefit your son, not just develop as a hockey player, but also develop as a person. So essentially I'm a little bit of, I guess, kind of the traveling guy to talk about the league, to parents and players, also at branch camps across Western Canada. But then another aspect of my portfolio is I run the WHL Cup, which is the four Western branches, which would be British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba. And it's essentially the highest level of amateur hockey, or the highest level tournament of amateur hockey in Western Canada. As well as the WHL U.S. Challenge Cup, which we started last season for the first time in Kent, Washington, which was a new tournament and a new venture for the Western Hockey League. So my job for that was all aspects of organizing, recruiting the teams to that tournament, working with the sponsors, working with the Seattle Thunderbirds while we were in Kent, Washington, and being the event manager for the entire event. So those are two aspects of my job. I also oversee the WHL Development Combines program and run the WHL Prospects Twitter and website. So it's kind of an all-encompassing job, but it's something that I really enjoy. There's a lot of variety. There's lots of travel. and I get to meet a lot of very interesting, people that you wouldn't always get to come into contact with in a normal job. So I'm very lucky. It's exciting, and right now there's some challenges, but with challenges come opportunities, and we're just trying to find new ways to get our message out and new ways to connect with those people.
We'll dive into that in due course, Zach, I'm sure, given the many challenges that I think all of us are enduring because of COVID-19 and a global pandemic. But it was impossible, frankly, to ignore the 2020 WHL Bantam Draft. And more so than any other year that I can personally recall, and I've been through 9 of them now, or is it 10? Who knows? The signability and the immediate signability of so many of the top picks from the WHL Bantam Draft. Sometimes it can take a full season to get a first-round pick committed. This year, it was anything but the case. If I've got my facts correct, it's that every single first-round pick from 2020 has signed with their respective team. That's a major feather in your cap. I'm sure it's something you're very proud of. Why is that?
We are proud. Why is that? It's because our clubs do a great job recruiting. They understand these players. They understand what they can bring to them, and they do a very good job communicating that to the parents and the players. I think our clubs deserve the bulk of the credit for doing that job. I'm just the first point of contact. That's it. I'm giving you the blanket statement. When they go to these clubs, every club has to sell their club to the player, and every club's a little bit different. But our clubs all do the recruitment process very well because they're very well structured. They have proven success in developing players and people and send them off to whether it's like myself, Canadian universities, or to the NHL and professional hockey. So the reason that we're doing so well on the recruitment side is because our clubs are doing so well and not just recruiting and communicating with these players, but also showing them the value that comes with playing in the Western Hockey League.
Just a few more questions for Zach Hodder here on White Spot Giants this week. He is the manager of player development for the Western Hockey League. And, you know, player development, it's a buzzword that, development, you hear it all the time, coming from coaches, coming from general managers, coming from everything. But I think one of the coolest, most rewarding, gratifying parts of probably playing in the WHL, from broadcasting in the WHL, is seeing some of these players come in at 16, wide-eyed, maybe a bit overwhelmed, and then all of a sudden you watch them grow right in front of your very eyes, and they develop not only into great hockey players, Zach, but great people. And I think in a deeper, meaningful component, I mean, it's got to be gratifying on one hand to see a player like a Bowen Byram being selected 4th overall by the Colorado Avalanche, but probably from your standpoint, it's equally as gratifying when you see a player go to the University of Calgary or the University of Saskatchewan or UBC, graduate and get a degree and go on to live a kind of a complete life. Am I right in thinking that there's equal satisfaction to be gained from both outcomes?
Yeah, for me, when I see, Kirby Dach, Bowen Byram, Dylan Cousins, the guys we had last year that were drafted in the first round, obviously Kirby ended up making Chicago, but to see Dylan Cousins and Bowen Byram and Ty Smith win a gold medal with the World Junior team this past Christmas, that's incredibly rewarding. But for myself, I don't really interact with those players very much. The guys I'm dealing with are players that are coming into the league and players that have already left the league. So last weekend, I was in Penticton talking to a group of players who were there for a camp, and I got to talk with Jackson Whistler, who's also a former Vancouver Giant goaltender and Kelowna Rocket goaltender, who's currently playing in Britain. But we were talking about the Western Hockey League, and then for me, getting to talk to him, he just finished his master's over in Britain. So those conversations for me are just as rewarding as seeing the players that go on to the NHL, like Brendan Gallagher, getting to see him play, that's very rewarding. But getting to see that we have 400 players using their scholarship, that's just as rewarding for myself. But still, we can have more players taking advantage of that scholarship, and that's something that I'm really trying to push with these 20-year-old players and with these 19-year-old players when they come into the end of their career, is they really need to look at how valuable that scholarship is and take advantage of it. School is something that if you can get it paid for, absolutely get it done, because professional hockey is always going to be there. And you can go play after playing U-Sports hockey over in Europe, make your way back to the AHL, or do what Luke Filth did, sign an NHL contract straight out of the University of Alberta. Or Derek Ryan, who's currently playing for the Calgary Flames, who played at the University of Alberta as well for 4 years. I mean, it's great the different avenues the players in our league can take after they're done playing in the Western League.
Zach, I'm getting the sense, and this is just through talking to Giants management, talking to a few colleagues around the league, that as best as possible, folks around the WHL are optimistic about what could potentially lie ahead. I mean, I know so much remains unknown, and we're at the mercy of a lot of different dominoes falling in certain ways, but can you maybe give us a sense of what the current temperature is like in the WHL head office when it comes to a season in 2020-21 and the efforts that are still going on behind the scenes, probably as aggressively as ever, to make sure that when that puck is ready to drop, that everybody's going to be ready?
You know, I can't really tell you much because I'm not involved in those conversations, but what I can tell you and what's been communicated to myself and the rest of our staff at the Western Hockey League offices is that the group that is working towards our return to play program is exploring every avenue to ensure that not just our players, but the fans in the building, the staff in the building, when we come back to play, is going to be the safest environment possible. I don't know when that's going to be, but I know that the guys and the girls who are working on that program are putting in a lot of work right now, putting in a lot of hours to make sure that when we do come back, it's done the right way. So, you know, I'm optimistic because I know the people that are on that board and on that group working towards that goal. But other than that, unfortunately, like a lot of us, I just don't know at the moment.
My final question for you, Zach, is this. Given that we have all had a little bit more time on our hands because of COVID-19, I figure that this conversation has led to some interesting answers and some interesting food for thought. But what are you watching? What are you reading? And what are you listening to these days?
Oh, man, I am big into Malcolm Gladwell. So I finished his book, Talking with Strangers, and he just came out with season 5 of Revisionist History. It's a podcast. If you like long-form storytelling, it would be a podcast for you to check out for sure. And so that's what I've been doing a lot of lately. I've been trying to stay away from watching too many shows. I'm trying to better myself, I guess you could say, but been into a lot of Gladwell at the moment, and that's kind of what I've been doing to keep busy. I got 5 seasons to go through, so I just started season 5, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, Zach, I've really enjoyed this conversation, and I think really from my standpoint, I think it's important that we can give folks a bit of a peek behind the curtain whenever possible about what, you know, player development looks like. You know, you see these players come into your franchise at, you know, age 15, 16, they leave at 20, but there's so much work that goes into the development side of it between, you know, point A and point B, and I think it's a great story. I think it's remarkable, frankly, to see you kind of doing what you're doing and the league doing what they're doing, you know, especially during these challenging times, to kind of keep the WHL at the front of people's minds. So with that, continued success, continued safety and positivity to you and your family, and I sure look forward to having another one of these conversations with you soon, and just good vibes to you, my friend. Thanks for coming on the show. I've really appreciated the conversation.
Thanks a lot, Dan. Have a great summer.
Zach Hodder with the Western Hockey League, an alumnus of the Vancouver Giants, now the manager of player development with the WHL, guest number one on this week's edition of White Spot Giants This Week. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Giants defenseman Tanner Brown stops by for a conversation. We'll see what's up with him and plenty more still to come. This is White Spot Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650.
Spot Giants This Week. Here's your host, Dan O'Connor.
Welcome back to White Spot Giants This Week here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Dan O'Connor, welcome back to the show. Really appreciated the conversation in segment number one with Zach Hodder, manager of player development with the Western Hockey League. Really interesting to get a look at what that all looks like and kind of how the travels go and kind of how recruitment works at the premier level within the WHL. But the conversation continues, and this is one that I'm also very excited about. My guest at this time is a fellow who it's kind of crazy to think, actually, that Tanner Brown's chapter and tenure with the Vancouver Giants has already spanned really three seasons. Drafted by the Giants in round two back in 2017, has spent parts of the past three seasons with the Giants. Defenseman, sometimes forward, and just all around good guy. Welcome to Giants This Week, Tanner Brown. It's great to have you on the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm great, Dan. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's been a long time coming to have this conversation, and I'm looking forward to doing so. Before we dive into last season and just some of the off-season stuff that you've been up to, Tanner, I mean, why don't you just give us a sense on how you're doing, how your family is doing? Hopefully you're all happy, you're all healthy, and managing to stay positive during what's been kind of a crazy situation for all of us, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all happy and healthy here, so just kind of doing our own thing, trying to contribute and help this thing kind of slow down here.
So, Tanner, I want to go back to mid-March with you, and specifically kind of March 11th, March 12th, once the chatter about COVID-19 really started to become more prevalent, I suppose. What do you remember about that fateful Thursday when all of a sudden practice is canceled and you're told that you've got a meeting in Ladner? Can you do your best to kind of reminisce with us about what the temperature was like and kind of what the reaction was like from you and the guys?
Yeah, I remember just kind of buzzing around at school with some of the guys, and we heard a couple other buddies on separate teams weren't going into the rink that day. So we were pretty confused with the whole situation and what was going on. And it's pretty crazy to think about. It just kind of stopped just like that in a blink of an eye.
So we'll circle back to that eventually, Tanner, but I wouldn't mind going back to 2017 with you. It feels probably like just yesterday, and also the fact 3 years have gone by, it's crazy to think about for sure. But when you were selected by the Vancouver Giants, I mean, what was the decision to go to the WHL fairly automatic for you, or was there some serious consideration about exploring some options, and maybe what was it about the Vancouver Giants opportunity that made sense for you?
No, I was 100% a Western League guy. I think right from kind of the whole draft, I knew that's where I wanted to play, especially being in such a great city and great organization, Vancouver here, so it was a no-brainer for me to try and get a contract and sign right away and make my way onto the squad.
So you joined the team full-time in 2019-20, and obviously with any first season, there are highs and lows, and, you know, some days you're playing a little more than others, but, you know, you get into 57 games this past season, you play some big minutes, and you get really accustomed, I suppose, to life as an everyday WHLer. Tell me about the mindset heading into this season. When you come to training camp, you're entering your 17-year-old season. I remember chatting with you even back then. There was a confidence, there was an expectation that you already knew about. So was it just a matter of kind of putting it all into play as best as you could? Tell me about the mindset heading into this season and what your goals were, maybe even thinking back to camp.
I think my goals for the last season there were kind of to do my job, kind of be an impact player, be noticeable each night. But I think coming into this season, coming up here, probably try and contribute more on the scoreboard, take a bigger role, more leader, because I understand how it goes, everyday life and things like that. So I think with the experience I gained last year, that I can definitely help and be a key piece this year, hopefully.
Tanner, how important was it for you to be around the team, even in 2018-19, during the run to the final, you know, being a black ace, getting into eight games during that season? You know, you hear buzzwords all the time about culture and expectation and habits. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to live it. How invaluable was that experience, and did it prepare you accordingly for all that was to come this year?
Absolutely. The group they had that year was unbelievable. They had so many good guys, and so many guys I could learn from that year. I think it really helped me in the long run, and hopefully I can pass that on down to the guys who come up in the future with us now.
My guest is Tanner Brown here on White Spot Giants this week. He is entering his second full season with the Vancouver Giants. 57 games played this past season. He got his first WHL goal under his belt, 44 penalty minutes. And, as we talked about a little bit earlier, it felt like as the season wore on, not only did you get more comfortable, but it seems like the team did as well. I want to talk about some of the team stuff in a moment with you, Tanner, but when you think about this season, or heck, maybe even it was during your 16 season or your 15 season, but can you do your best for me to talk about the moment, maybe it was a game, maybe it was just a time in the season where all of a sudden it went from Tanner Brown, I'm just happy to be here, to Tanner Brown, okay, I got this, and I know that I can contribute?
Personally, I think for me, I was kind of never just happy to be there. I always wanted to be more than just being there. I wanted to be important and be useful to the team. But I think I kind of had ups and downs till about Christmas time, kind of unsure of my role and what to do and how to do certain things. But I think after Christmas time, just reflecting and got to go home a bit there, I think I came back even better and understood my role and what I was there to do. So I think that only benefited me and the team moving forward.
So let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, you know, the whole WHL journey is a little bit about discovery, and it's a little bit about adapting and practicing and developing. As things stand right now, Tanner, when you're at your best, what are fans going to notice about your game?
I think they're definitely going to notice me throwing my body around for sure, trying to lay some big hits, maybe even fight if I have to. But I think this season I want to try and put some more points up on the board, so maybe the fans will be able to see that this year.
It was quite a season for the Giants, and it's been well documented, Tanner. I mean, kind of the bumps and the ups and downs over the first, you know, handful of months of the season, but much has been made about a couple of notable trades that took place, and really from the trade deadline on, it was a different team. What, in your mind, were some of the key differences, or just for whatever reason, are you able to put your finger on, you know, like what clicked with the team after January 10th and ultimately some of the factors that led to the team going on an 11-game winning streak?
I honestly think our leadership and coaching staff is really the reason why. I think they kind of dialed us in. We were kind of getting loose around and kind of losing it a bit. And then I think they dialed us right in with some hard practices and doing lots of talking and keeping us motivated and setting goals. And I think those guys are 100% the reason we went on that 11-game win streak.
I'll never forget the streak. I mean, it all started in Kelowna on a Sunday in January, and then it all ended, unfortunately, on a Saturday night in Everett. But when you think about 11 games and the 11 storylines that were kind of attached to it, Tanner, did you have a favorite game during that streak, or a memorable game that above all others kind of sits out to you as kind of like a wow game during that run?
Honestly, Dan, I loved them all. Really awesome. I've never been a part of something like that. 11 games is a lot of games, especially in a great league like the Western League. So I think they're all equally as important.
Tanner Brown, my guest here on White Spot Giants this week. Vancouver Giants defenseman heading into his second full campaign in the WHL, but already with 71 WHL games under your belt over the course of the past handful of years, Tanner. You touched on something a bit earlier in the conversation that I want to circle back to, and you just remember, you know, the leadership being integral with the streak. Who have been some of the real influential players for you during your time with the Giants, guys that have kind of gone out of their way to show you the ropes, guys that have allowed you to feel more comfortable and maybe more established in that locker room?
Lots of guys have made me feel welcome and definitely helped me out along the way, but One guy I can really credit is my good buddy Dylan Plouffe. He helped me out this year a lot at the start. Obviously, kind of first year coming in, made me feel really welcome. Kind of just helped me, gave me lots of tips, and definitely showed me the ropes for sure.
So the Giants, of course, would have finished in second. It would have meant a first-round playoff rivalry and series with the Victoria Royals, a team that you played 10 times this past season. It's a rivalry that doesn't need any introduction. But, Tanner, when you think about the Giants-Royals rivalry, how fun were those games to play in, and how excited were you and the guys for the likely probability that you were going to get a crack at those guys in round one?
I think everybody was really excited. We were all buzzing, hoping that that was going to be the outcome. And we get to play those guys in the first round. That would have been awesome because I think everybody knows the rivalry and what we have going between us, some bad blood, and it would have been a really, really good spirited series.
I mean, it's impossible to say what would have unfolded, but you know, you had some success against Kelowna during the season, and then towards the end, definitely you rattled off some consecutive victories against the Kamloops Blazers. You know, did you like the demeanor and kind of where the team was at in March? I mean, I know there were the two games in Prince George and maybe a bit of a roadblock, but I mean, I just remember even heading into that 3-3 weekend that never got played, there was a confidence with the team. It was starting to get a bit of a playoff feel and a playoff focus to you. It's impossible to say, Tanner, but how did you feel heading closer to the playoffs? Did the guys genuinely feel like they had another run left within them?
Well, absolutely. I think we knew what we were there for, and we all signed up at the start, and we all had the same goal. So I think we were just biting at the bit to get at it there, and I think it really sucks it ended, but hopefully we can keep that same energy coming back this year.
Tanner, when you think about the Giants and next season and all that lies ahead for you and kind of this younger core of players, what gets you excited? Why are there reasons for encouragement and optimism when it comes to the next wave of Vancouver Giants?
I think this year, all the younger guys, me included, I think we all built a lot of experience, and I think that's going to really benefit us next year coming in. I think we'll be ready to go, confident, not too worried, I don't think. Just ready to play and contribute to the Vancouver Giants.
Few more questions for Tanner Brown here on White Spot Giants this week here on Sportsnet 650. I don't know if enough gets made of the fact, Tanner, that the Giants, for all that they accomplished in 2018-19, this past season, they were incredibly young. You know, thinking about yourself, Justin Sword, of Cole Shepherd, Cruz Plummer, Caden Cole, the list goes on. Zach Ostopchuk, Jacob Gendron. Did it help you as a younger player having other younger players to kind of share in that experience with, even if it is something like loading the bus before you leave on a trip, having, you know, not just one or two of you, but having, you know, a handful of you guys to kind of share in that experience together?
Absolutely, because I think that builds the brotherhood and it builds the bond. Definitely, we're going through the same things. We're understanding. I think down the road, that's only going to benefit us. It's just adding to our relationships for the future, that trust and respect for each other. So who knows, maybe when we're 18 and 19, we'll be making another good run like that.
Before this conversation, Tanner, you were at the gym, you were training, you were skating, and I know that there's a number of you guys that are doing so, you know, a few times a week in Delta, doing your part to kind of stay sharp, stay ready. When it comes to off-season training, I mean, is there one specific element that you're really trying to focus in on and hone in on, or is it a little bit of everything?
I think it's definitely a little bit of everything. We were doing some skates a while back, working on finishing and kind of stuff around the net. I really like that stuff, which is definitely good, and gonna be able to put some points up this year, hopefully.
You played a bit of forward this past season, predominantly though on the blue line. For a fan who's probably curious about that, had you had much experience playing up front before? Was it something that you became comfortable with and excited about? Give us your sense of kind of, I guess, being a bit of a Swiss Army knife type player and having the ability to go up front if that's what the coach needs from you.
Oh, absolutely. I love both positions. I'm just happy to help my team out for sure. And kind of all started last year, down a couple players, and Barks called and said, "Hey, like, could you play forward, do you think, tonight?" And I said, "Yeah, of course. I'd love to give it a crack." And kind of got lucky and got an assist that game somehow, and kind of been laughing ever since.
A few more for you, Tanner. We'll let you get on with your day. But, you know, the one impressive thing for me that I've heard about when I've talked to some of you guys over the course of the summer is how close you guys are staying. I know that the group chat is still going, and the coaching staff, the management team has done as best as they can to kind of keep you informed as to what's going on and kind of where things are all headed as far as return to play in the 2021 season and all that's upcoming. I guess, how excited are you? How encouraged are you by the thought of hopefully sooner than later being able to gather back in Vancouver again with your teammates and getting the 2021 season started?
Oh yeah, obviously super duper excited to get things rolling again here with the guys. Definitely stay in touch with all the guys here. Got a really good group, and definitely keeping in touch.
High school graduation. That's a great thing. That's a great story, and I'm sure probably moving forward, it's exciting to maybe think about a season where you don't necessarily have to juggle the school side as predominantly with the hockey side, Tanner. But maybe for someone listening that doesn't quite get it, can you talk a little bit about the challenges and the rewards, I suppose, that accompany, you know, the school side of being a WHL hockey player?
Oh, it's definitely got to work on your time management for sure. I mean, I got pretty lucky as I did a lot of courses online throughout the year, so I didn't have too heavy of a course load. But I know guys like Cole Shepherd would have some real long nights after practice doing homework and on buses, grinding it out. It's definitely grinding, and it definitely wears at you, but it's something that's got to be done, especially to stay in the league and keep grades up and all that stuff.
Tell us a little bit about graduation. I mean, were you, I know that everyone kind of did it a little bit differently, but did you get to walk across the stage? Did you get to kind of have a family celebration? What did that all look like for you?
So our school, I think, was kind of pretty safe about it. Definitely, walked in one by one at the school. You had a certain time you had to pull up at, and certain time allotted for pictures and all that stuff, and you get your diploma on the stage, and it's all video recorded, and they send it to your family and stuff like that. And then last week we had a little walk through the park or whatever, just for the community, I guess. So Cruz Plummer, my good grad date, we walked together and took some more pictures with family and friends, and that was it.
I hope you don't take this the wrong way, Tanner, but you can do better with your grad date.
Thank you.
Just kidding. Got all the time in the world for Cruz as well. Tanner, before we wind this conversation down, here's a question that I've asked pretty much every guest that I've had on this show since COVID-19 hit. We've all had a little more time on our hands. We've all had a little more time to kind of focus on us, if you will. What have you been watching? What have you been reading? What have you been listening to kind of make the time go by and to enjoy yourself?
Oh, boy. Definitely been watching a lot of Sons of Anarchy, and definitely been improving my Call of Duty stats with all my buddies.
Nice.
Other than that, pretty much just hanging out, not doing too much, I guess. That's changed, honestly. A couple podcasts maybe here and there, some Joe Rogan, and that's about it.
Well, obviously there's still a lot that remains to be seen as far as the return to play and what that all looks like, Tanner, but I've definitely appreciated getting to know you over the past three seasons that you and I have both been involved with the Vancouver Giants, and I think that there's still an incredibly bright future ahead of you. Really looking forward to seeing what the future has in store for you on the ice, and for you and your teammates, of course, just continued health, continued safety, and continued positivity. Really looking forward to the next time we get to chat, because I enjoy it every time it happens. Give my best to your folks, your family, and everybody, and let's do this again soon.
Sounds good, Dan. Thanks. I appreciate it very much. Stay safe.
Will do, my friend. You too. Tanner Brown on White Spot Giants this week here on Sportsnet 650. That is going to do it for this week's show. One more time, a huge thanks to The WHL Director of Player Development, Zach Hodder, of Player Development, Zach Hodder, for joining us in segment number one. And this conversation with Tanner Brown, enjoyable, definitely. To all of you who made this show a part of your Monday evening, we sincerely appreciate it. Continued health, safety, and positivity to you as well, and we'll talk to you next week. I'm Dan O'Connor, and this has been White Spot Giants This Week on the home of Vancouver hockey and the home of the Giants, Sportsnet 650.